So now, it's later that afternoon. I just got home from work, and it's like 5:25 in the afternoon. And I know that I'm supposed to talk to my dad at 5:30. So I'm sitting in a chair at the dining room table, and I'm waiting for him to show up. And it's like stiflingly warm. I'm impatient. My knee is like bouncing uncontrollably. And I had been sitting there only for maybe 2 minutes, if that. But it felt like an eternity. Suddenly, I can hear the door open coming in from the garage. And I know it's my dad. And I've got this serious attitude. I mean, I'm slouched down kind of like this, you know, as far as I can in the chair. And I've got this forced scowl on my face. And I'm trying to give off just as much attitude as I possibly can. But at the same time, my heart is pounding because I'm thinking to myself, what is this all about? I mean, earlier that morning, you know, he comes into my room at like 4, wakes me up out of a dead sleep, and tells me that we have to talk at 5:30 at the kitchen table about something, but doesn't tell me what it's about, and then leaves. So millions of scenarios are going through my mind, but honestly, I have no idea what he's got to say to me. And all my 18-year-old mind can do is think, you know, what did I do? I mean, what is this about? Am I in trouble? But I'm also thinking I haven't done anything that would get me in quote unquote trouble. I mean, I haven't gotten caught. So what's the problem? And I'm thinking to myself, if he gives me any attitude, man, I'm just going to give it right back. But also, while I'm thinking that, I'm also justifying to myself how great of a son I am. I mean, I'm like, man, I got a part-time job. I'm always on time. I'm responsible. I mean, I'm paying for my car. I'm paying for my insurance. You know, so what if I'm out every night, you know? If I'm not coming home, I'll call them, you know, give them a courtesy call and say, hey, you know what? I'm not coming home. I'm here. I'm safe. You know, what a great kid I am. So then I can feel my dad's presence behind me. And he sits down next to me at kind of like a 45-degree angle. And the first thing he says is, sit up, son. And so I sit up a little bit just to kind of show him, you know, I'm listening. But then I kind of slouch back down to give off the attitude and stuff. And he, as he sits down, he kind of folds his hands in front of him and puts them on the table. And he looks right at me and he says, you know, your mom and I have been pretty easy on you after graduation. But now we feel it's time. Hello, everyone. My name is Bishop Friesch, and wherever you may be watching or listening, thank you very much for being here, and welcome to My Life Through Music, a project where I talk about the songs and music that were either there at the time, or they describe the thoughts, feelings, or emotions I was experiencing at these particular places and at these particular times. And the song that represents this memory is Get a Haircut by George Thorogood and the Destroyers, released in 1993. How cool of a song is this, man? I mean, it's got that blues rock riff. He's using the slide to give it that loose, messy sound that gives off just so much attitude. Attitude that the song really needs, you know? And here he is. He's talking about being a rebel and sitting in your bedroom, you know, listening to records all day, which I can totally identify with. Growing up and becoming all the things that his parents warned him about, which is another thing I can identify with. Partying all night and sleeping all day, which is another thing I could identify with, and getting a job, you know. And I remember, speaking of George Thorogood, I remember when I saw him for the very first time, and it was on MTV, and it was the first time I really actually saw somebody using a slide with a guitar, and I thought it was just so cool. And I think I was probably, oh, I want to say 12 and a half. And do you remember the video for Bad to the Bone? Oh my gosh, man. I thought that was so cool. I mean, he walks into this pool joint, right? And he's got a guitar case and he sets it on the pool table and he opens it, but there's not a guitar in it. It's a pool cue. And at the end of the video, the coolest part is that when he shoots the eight ball and he's going for the corner pocket and it gets right to the edge and then it stops for just a second, but then George Thorogood, he takes his cigar and drops some ashes on the floor and it makes the eight ball go in. Oh, dude, I thought that was so cool. Still do, man. Okay, so back to the story. So my dad and I were sitting at the kitchen table, as I just mentioned, and he's saying to me, you know, your mom and I, we've been pretty easy on you after graduation. You basically partied and goofed off your whole senior year. And I don't think he used goofed off, but you barely graduated. And, you know, we've been easy on you. We've given you a chance to have fun this summer, hang out a little bit. You know, you've been going to concerts. You've been going up north. You've been partying with your friends. You've been doing everything you wanted to do. And we haven't said anything. And we feel now that it's time for you to become more responsible. And as he's talking, his voice just starts to kind of slowly blur and fade off into the background, into these, you know, trippy, incoherent, echoey sounds. You know that state of mind where you're in a conversation with somebody, but your mind is quickly drifting off and you're really not listening anymore? I mean, you could see their mouth moving, but you're deep in your own thoughts and you can't even hear them anymore because you're having a conversation in your own mind with yourself. Well, that's where I was at that point. But then, a couple of seconds later, I kind of start bringing myself out of the dreamy state, and I get jolted back into the conscious moment right at the time when his words are cutting through my mental fog, and I can hear him say, "So we've decided to give you two options. Option number one, you get enrolled into college immediately and you take a full load of courses and you can stay here all the way up until you get a bachelor's degree. All you have to do is continue to pay for your car, pay for your insurance, and pass all of your classes." And so I'm sitting there, I'm like, wait, but I don't want to go to college. You know, I'm thinking to myself, I never wanted to go to college. And so I say to him, you know, with all the attitude I can muster, I'm like, well, what's option number two? And without skipping a beat and with the same exact demeanor and disposition he laid out option one with, he calmly says, "Option two? Oh, it's very simple. You can get a full-time job, you can pay for all of your own expenses, and you can find your own place to stay. And in 30 days, you are going to have to leave." And I was like, whoa, what? What are you talking about? And so I sat there for like 10 seconds, you know, and you know, I'm angry, I'm confused, I have no idea why this is coming at me, you know. And then I did the only thing I could think of, and I jumped up out of the chair, and I spun around, and I grabbed the back of the chair, because I was so mad, and I didn't have anything else to grab onto. And I said, Well, how about option number three? I'm just going to go join the military. And then I started walking down the hall towards my room. And that's when my mom comes out of the kitchen. She was in the kitchen, probably eavesdropping, but she was pretending to cook dinner, you know. And she gets up behind me and she goes, Bishop Charles, you get back here right now and you sit down. So I stop. I look up and I roll my eyes. And, you know, I think to myself, man, you can't say no to mom, you know, especially when dad's right there, you know. So I walk back into the dining room. And my dad has this smirk on his face, almost like he was going to break out and start laughing at me. And he points to the chair and he says, sit down. And so I sit down and I'm looking at him and he does kind of start to laugh a little bit. I mean, I could see he's trying to hold it in and I could tell that he doesn't want to laugh, but he can't help it. And then he says to me, the military? And I was like, yeah, you know, I've been thinking about it. I've been talking about it. And he says, you don't need to go into the military. Why go into the military when I'm offering you a deal of a lifetime? And I'm like, a deal of a lifetime? What are you talking about? You know how much I hate school. I was just in school for like the last 12 years. I don't want to go back to school, and I never did want to go to college. And then he starts to tell me and explain to me, you know, how college is different and it's geared, you know, more towards adult living and this and that. And I'm like, you know, I just don't want to go. And he says, son, I don't really think you appreciate and understand the opportunity that we're giving you. And so I'm sitting there and I'm just silent. You know, I'm not saying anything. I've got nothing to say. And then he says, look, do a year. It's two semesters. Try it for two semesters. And after that, if you don't like it, then go ahead with your plans to join the military. Deal? So I sat there looking into this bright glare coming off the surface of the table. It was coming off the chandelier from above the dining room table, but it was glaring off on the surface in front of me, and it was the only thing I could focus on. And then I look at him and I say, two semesters? And he goes, two semesters. And then I go, okay, after that, if I still don't want to go anymore, and then he cuts me off and he says, look, if you give me two honest semesters, and after that you still don't want to go, I'll drive you to the recruiter myself. And I looked back down into the glare on the table in front of me, and I barely nodded and I go, okay. So, there I was. I actually had a plan. I did start college. I was actually going to the classes and actually doing the homework. And I was applying myself. Something that a lot of people told me that I wasn't doing much of up to that point. But I was staying out of trouble and I was kind of getting my act together a little bit, you know? And life was good and it was getting better. I felt like a real person again, a responsible person, almost like an adult, I guess. And this is why I gotta thank George Thorogood and the Destroyers for this awesome, awesome song, and why it's right here in my Life Through Music playlist. I'll put that in the description so you can go right to it and check it out if you'd like. Plus a few more songs that really kind of tell the entire story. And then one random afternoon, I was at my house and I was all by myself. Didn't know where my mom and dad were. Didn't know where my brother was. I don't know. He was probably at practice or riding his motorcycle or hanging out with his friends or with some girl or something. I don't know. He wasn't there. And it was like, oh, the house to myself. I mean, isn't that such a great feeling? I don't care how old you are, but having the house to yourself is awesome. And so I'm in the kitchen and I'm standing right in front of the microwave, basically staring at it from like 3 inches away, waiting for my food to finish cooking. You know, what you're not supposed to do. And I'm getting ready to sit down and watch a video, you know? And all of a sudden, I hear the doorbell ring. And I'm like, oh man, really? I mean, what does a guy gotta do? You know, I mean, all I wanna do right now is sit down, eat this greasy quesadilla, and watch, you know, one of my favorite all-time movies, Top Gun, for like the 150th time. I mean, the audacity of people. Anyways, I walk past the dining room, the same place where my dad and I had that conversation I spoke about in the beginning, and I turn down the hallway, and I'm thinking to myself, I shouldn't even answer this. I mean, it isn't for me anyways. It can't be for me. I mean, all my friends are either working or they're at school or, I mean, nobody needed to get a hold of me. I knew where everybody was. They knew where I was, you know. It was no big deal. And I'm thinking to myself, it's probably one of my brother's friends or something. And so I get to the door. I grab the handle and I swing it open, you know, with a little attitude. But then I gasp. And time slows down as reality sets in very deeply. And I have to grab the door frame because adrenaline is now pumping through my body. Because standing right in front of me, looking impeccably beautiful as always, like she had just walked off the set of some modeling shoot. Man, talk about take my breath away. Was attendance girl. I'll be talking about what happened after that the next time I talk a little more about my life through music. Thank you very much for being here. And I sat there, and all I could do was stare at this glare that was coming up from the table. It was shining off. It was glare. I sat there looking at this bright glare coming off the table from the shine.